Our devotional and background study today comes from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. I'll read that at this time. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time, I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class.
Book this morning, turn to our lesson entitled Where I See the Blood, and that's a song that I'm not really familiar with. It's an old song, but we don't sing it, and it was written by John G. Foote in the 1800s, and that's about all I found out about it. Our lesson today is taken from the 12th chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying. Now, a little background on this. This is when they were in bondage in Egypt. And this is when Moses and Pharaoh were discussing the release of the Israelites so that they could be free and sent out of Egypt. And Moses had, and God, I suppose, has sent these plagues down on Egypt to try and loosen the hold that Pharaoh had upon the Israelites, but it seemed to harden his resolve, and I think this was all according to God's plan. He was showing not only Pharaoh but the people of Egypt the power of the one true God, because Egypt, as everybody knows, was in idolatry and believed in all different kind of gods and built huge monuments that still stand to this day to their belief of different gods. Even their pharaohs were set up as gods themselves. And so we're down to the last plague, you might say, if you want to call it that. And this is what God is telling Moses. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This month being Nisan. And it was by the Gregorian calendar, which is what we go by, it was in like March or April. So it was in the spring of the year. Now, God is telling them there's coming a big change here, and he wants to change even where their beginning of the month is. Now, our beginning of, or beginning of the new year is, our new year begins in January. Now, prior to this, the Jewish new year began in September, but God is I think, instructing Moses here that this is going to be a new beginning. He's setting up the he's setting up the nation of Israel. He's taking the Israelites out of Egypt. It's going to be a new day for them, and he's going to carry them into a new country, into a new land, into the promised land that he had promised that he would take them into. And this is the beginning of that. So he's saying that beginning now, today, is going to be a new year, the beginning of a new year to you, and a new month. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, or the number of people. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, which is the internal organs. So they're supposed to eat this whole thing. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token or a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it to a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Here we have the establishment of the Feast of Passover, which was a religious ceremony that was established here. Now, I'm not going to go into Leviticus, where it talks about how you're supposed to conduct Passover, because it gets really, I don't have enough time to go through all that. Passover is a real complicated religious ceremony. But nonetheless, this first observance of Passover was quite simple. God was ready to take them out of Egypt. And he told them that this was going to be a feast that they were going to have before they left, and that they were supposed to keep this feast in remembrance forever throughout the life of the of Israel. Now, he told them, if you remember, that they was to eat it with your loins girded, in other words, your coats buttoned up, your belt buckle tightened, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. In other words, they're to eat it and be ready to go. Because, listen, if you think about it, there was hundreds of thousands of Jews by this time that were enslaved in Egypt. They'd been there for 400 years. So actually, they've been there for about the actual length of recorded time here in the United States for 400 or 500 years. And so they had grown, and they'd grown to such an extent that actually the people of Egypt began to worry about them. The pharaohs themselves began to worry because they became so many. And you all know the story of Moses and his role in this, but God was telling them this night that this was it, that you're to be ready to go. It's not as easy as what you, at least I picture in my mind. I mean, you've got hundreds of thousands of people that's fixing out to head out the door and head for another land. And they've got to move quickly. And so that's why he's telling them, you've got to eat this and you've got to be ready to go, because there's something happening tonight. There's something happening tonight that's going to change everything. Everything that you've ever been used to in this land. Everything that you've ever done in this land. Everything that you think about how well you love or hate this land is going to be changed. Now, you've got these people, this is all they knew. They've been there for all these hundreds of years. They didn't know anything else. They didn't know, and these people especially didn't know anything but slavery. Now, it didn't start off in the beginning that way, but after 400 years, this is the way it was. And I'm not going to get into all that, but I'm telling you, these people had no idea about what was out in front of them. All they had was faith in God that he was going to take care of them. So, and you study this and you find out that there could well have been, in actual fact, over 1 million people that was some of the Egyptians left with them. Some, you know, it wasn't just Jews, it was a mixture of people that left, some of them. And not all of them were saved people. Not all of them. I mean, it was a band of people that were getting up and leaving. But let's look at what he told them. That is, to me, the most important part of this lesson. Because in this lesson, a lot of the gospel of Jesus Christ is betrayed. Now, let's talk about the blood, because to me that's the most important thing. The lamb that was slain and the blood that that lamb produced is the most important aspect for us as Gentiles. As we look back on what happened to those Jews, as we look back on what happened to them, the lamb and the blood becomes the most important thing to us. It ties us together. It makes us one. And it says here, your lamb shall be without blemish. That's the first evidence that we have here of where we're going with this. What is going to happen here? Now, blood has been a big part of the life or the history of these people from the time that Adam was created until now. Blood had been a big part of the life force that these people recognized. Now, you all remember that the first blood that was ever shed was Cain slew Abel in the Garden of Eden. But you know what the next blood that shed was? God sacrificed innocent animals to clothe Adam and Eve. Innocent animals, blood was shed that they might wear, be covered with clothes. And that was because of the sin that had come about. So blood became a big part of the ceremonies that these people were aware of. And here we have God telling them to get into your house, to get in your safe place, in other words, to slay this unblemished lamb. And then take the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the door and across the lintel, the top part of the door. Now, two things here. This is the establishment of the religious ceremony of Passover. In the 11th verse it says, this is the Lord's Passover. This is establishment of that. In the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says that Christ is our Passover. Christ is our Passover. So you see, the two are being tied together. Now, it wasn't given us instructions that we should observe Passover. It was given to the Jewish people that they should observe Passover. But Paul ties us together with the Jews by declaring that Christ is our Passover. He's the one that we're looking to. And he's the one that we trust in. Now, they smeared the blood of the lamb that was eaten there, or that they were eating there. They smeared it on the door and the lintel above the door. So they had blood that was there around the door. Now, I forgot to tell you this, or to mention this in the first chapter of John. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. And in Revelations, Jesus is referred to as a lamb slain. So you see, we have these parallels here that we're looking at. And it's beginning to become to us more important what this message is saying here. Because it is telling us what the gospel of Jesus Christ is today. And that's all about the blood. It's all about the blood. Now, Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, he also said, I am the door. Okay? Now we're talking about doing something with this door. We're talking about putting blood around it. Now why are we going to put blood around it? For I will pass through the land of Egypt. This is the 12th verse. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. You see what the blood was for? It was for salvation. It was to save these people from being destroyed. And today, to parallel that, to correlate that to what the Jews were going through, if you don't have the blood applied to you this morning, you're bound for destruction. You're bound for a devil's hell. So you see this parallel, how that this right here is a complete doctrine, a foreshadow of the doctrine that was to come when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood. Lamb of God, sinless, without blemish, was put upon the cross and shed his blood and died for what? For our sins, so that we might be held safe in his arms. And when that terrible day comes, when the death angel comes through that land and smites all the people, we or not we, but you, meaning the world, has to have that blood applied to the door sides and the lintels, that that death angel might look at you and pass over and see that you're all right and you're protected and you're safe in the arms of Jesus. So we find a whole lesson here in the Passover. It was made for the Jewish people. But you see how closely related we become to the Israelites. And what a family that we become. The Israelites joined together and went out into a land that they had no idea what was out in front of them. Well, you know, we as God's people today, we have no idea what's out there in front of us. All we can do is trust in God that He will watch over. And that's what these people did. They were putting their trust in God. And you better believe, I honestly believe it, that most of the people that got this word, these Jews, started sacrificing those lambs and spreading that blood on that post, because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was coming that night. He was going to be there that night. And they had to do what He said for the death angel to pass over. Now, it changed the whole land of Egypt. It took all the firstborn, both man and animal. And He said that He also smote the gods of Egypt to show His power. And so we find here that all of this event, all of the things that happened to these people that night, we can look back and see how it connects us to not only them, but it connects us to God. Because, as I said, Jesus said, "I am the door, and it's only through that door will you ever find God." And this door is protected by the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. Now, these people met their salvation just the same way as you do. The only difference is they had faith enough to look forward and know that someday there was going to be a Redeemer that was coming. The difference is He came. And now we, as these people, look back and we know for a surety that He was here. Now, neither group of us, neither these Israelites, nor we as God's people today, have ever seen Jesus. But I believe with all my heart that He walked this earth. And that today that there are Jews here in Nashville and across the world that have missed Him. They look forward for all these years to the coming of the Messiah. And when He came, they missed Him. Why did they miss Him? Because they were proud and high-minded. And they thought that they knew the mind and the will of God. But here we have a people who I believe were humble and submissive to His will. And when Moses told them what they should do, I think they immediately set out to do it. They set aside this lamb that was unblemished. They set aside the time when they should get together and get their families inside this house and spread the blood across around the door, so that when the death angel came, that he would see that blood had been applied and that he would leave them safe and go on and check the next house. And I believe there was wailing all through that land that night as the death angel took the firstborn of all the people and of all the animals, and the country was left in an uproar. And this finally broke down the walls of Pharaoh, and he let these people go, and they went into their own land and established a temple unto God. And that temple became a gathering place for God's people. And when God's people strayed from the way, He would reel them in and punish them for their disobedience. And it came to the point that that temple was destroyed, and the Jewish people were scattered across the land and the country. And the kingdom that Jesus came on this earth to establish, which I had a woman ask me the other day, did I know what the kingdom was? And she was wanting to get into discussion that the kingdom was here on this earth and that we were all going to participate in it for 1,000 years or whatever. But the kingdom was not. The kingdom was the church. This is what the kingdom is. It's not this building. It's you and I together with a like-minded people saved by the blood of God across this world. That's the kingdom that was came. And it was the vehicle that was used to carry the message out to the world. And it came into Greece, and it went into Rome, and it went into France and Germany, and it went into England, and it went into Wales, and it came from Wales over here to the United States, and it's here today, all because these people here understood what the blood meant. And so we're all tied together in this. We're all people of God. We should all heed His warnings. We should all heed what He would have us to do. Because this world is not promised to stand forever. And we've come down to this time because of this blood. That's why we're here today, is because of the blood. The blood that was applied to the doorpost for these people, that they might remember it every year. And when Jesus came and died on the cross and the blood He shed, and we should remember that blood that He shed. And we do that now. We just did that back last month. We remember the blood that He shed and His death, burial, and resurrection. And we must continue to do that. That the message that He brought to these people is the same message that He brings to us today. That Jesus is the door. He is the way. And the blood that He shed will wash away sins of all mankind. He shed enough blood there on the cross, just as these people put enough blood on the door frames and the lintel above the door. Jesus shed enough blood to save everybody in the world. There was enough blood shed there that day. That everybody in the world, now it becomes our responsibility to keep that in the forefront of people's minds, just like the Passover ceremony was to be done as a memorial for all times. So is the gospel to be preached for all times until the world, or till God is through with us, till He's finished with this world. It's got to go on. And so we're tied to this Passover celebration by the blood. The blood of the unblemished lamb that was shed. In the fifth chapter, well, I'll just turn over there and read that. In the fifth chapter of Romans, and the eighth verse. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Just as the Israelites were saved by the blood that was placed around the doorpost. It says here, much more than being now justified by His blood, we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And Ephesians and the first chapter and the seventh verse, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So you see, the blood is everything. The blood is what saved our souls. The blood is what saved the Israelites from destruction. And the blood is what it's going to take each sinner. If he is ever to be saved, he's got to let Jesus come into his heart, because Jesus shed that blood for him. And without that blood, there is not a possible way in this world you'll ever get into heaven. And that's just the way it is. There's just no way around it. And these people can, some of the current religious thinking is that Jesus was just a prophet, and that he has nothing more to do with our salvation than just be a good man, is wrong. And there's just, I don't know any other way to put it. The scriptures say he is the door, and through his blood we're saved, and only by him can you come to the throne of God. So I don't know where these people are getting their information from, but they're wrong. Jesus is the way. It's his blood that has saved our soul. There's not a bit of good living done to it. You don't buy it. You don't spend money for it. You just got to put your trust in God. Just like these people put their trust in God. That blood was going to keep them from destruction. And they were right. It did. Anyone have anything to say?
I got a question here. It says that you did this memorial forever about the Jews, but I thought the Lord's Supper probably until her thinking the same thing.
Well, we don't have anything to do with this ceremony here. I mean, this was for the Jews.
Yeah.
What we have is what we have. And now we can connect our lineage back to the Passover, but this was a commandment, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. There's God commands a lot of things to the Jewish people that he doesn't require of us. You see, but we do. We have the Lord's Supper. We have a lot of things that take the place, because when he died on the cross, symbolically, when he died, that ended the old Mosaic law. And that was the trouble that Paul and all the apostles had with the Jews, because they weren't willing to give it up. But we are not required to actively, it's not required of us to actively, celebrate.
No, we already. Lord's Supper,
yes,
takes its place, don't
really. Right. I guess you could say that it sort of, I don't know that it takes its place, because it's kind of a different thing, but if you want to look at it, it sort of takes its place, I guess, but it's just, I don't know that you can say it truly takes the place of what, of all the things that are involved in the Passover. If you ask me, it's a lot more simpler than what these people had to go through when we observe the Lord's Supper. But in observing the Lord's Supper, we should take that as much to our heart as these people took the Passover to their heart. It's a serious obligation that we have to God that we do this in remembrance of him. Anyone else?
You know, Rex, you were reading about how they would have shoes on and their coats on to be ready to go. Thought came to mind, well, that's the way that we ought to be today, not clothed is, but spiritually ready to go with whatever God would have us to do. And I'm not that way now.
Well, I'm not.
But you can kind of see a correlation there, I guess.
But that's our weakness, right? We fight him every step of the way. We just put up a huge battle. Yes, we do. Some more than others. Anyone else? Don, would you dismiss us?